where we came from last week, and I headlined this section, Stepping Stones to Wisdom, or another way of putting it, less picturesque, is Directions for Attaining Wisdom. Just in this chapter, what did we discover? And I just want to bring to your attention again that the first one was remember, how it says in verse 1, my son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Over and over again, we find that. Let them stay in front of your eyes. Tie them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. These are expressions which you'll come across in Proverbs over and over again. And one of the ways in which we remember is memorizing. And I feel it's a very important discipline in the Christian life, particularly for new Christians, is to store up in your memory as much as you can of God's word. So we're just going to take 2 minutes to go back and take those verses. Every chapter have at least one key verse to memorize. And as you read Proverbs, one chapter per day of the month, because there are 31 chapters, memorize that verse that you had last month and add another one the next month. All right, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge and instruction. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Without looking at the Bible this time. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I may not be word perfect, and then I can be corrected. But we're taking it from the King James, because that is the poetic translation. But you may have your own translations as well. And it's excellent to have the King James and another, if you've got that good kind of a memory. Okay, Proverbs 2:6. Let's choose that one out of that chapter. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And friends, it's tremendous when you're in the middle of a day and you suddenly discover yourself caught in the midst of problems, decisions on the telephone with your children. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Then what do? Ask him for it. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The next one we're going to sing. Proverbs 3:5-6. This is a life motto. It's a key section in Proverbs. It's what it's all about. And we give this to our children particularly as they launch out. Give it for graduation gifts. Give it to your children as a life motto.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
As you notice in this section in Proverbs, in 1 verse 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Just notice that if we do seek to really retain and remember and hold and keep the law of the Lord, not just with our minds, but in our walk, we're promised length of days. In other words, that God will grant us that wisdom to accomplish more in one day. And long life. I think that speaks for health we will be more healthy. And peace. And that's for emotional security. And don't we all need it these days? We need a sense of emotional stability, security, and anchor. And we have it if we hold to the Word of God. All right. Then the second one was mercy and truth. And notice in verse 4 that the results of mercy and truth is that we will find favor or good relationships horizontally and vertically. If we have the balance of mercy and truth, love and kindness and forgiveness, along with the counsel of the truth of the Word of God. And this particularly when we are perhaps counseling with other people, as some have come to me deeply troubled because they are counseling with people who are going away, which is not God's way, and ask how they are to relate to these friends. Is it going to mean a broken friendship? It may have to mean a broken friendship, because unless two agree, they cannot walk together. So it may be that the friendship as such will not be able to be enjoyed as before. But this is one little secret that we as Christian sisters are to always remember. I said, give the truth, but give it in love. That's another way of saying mercy and truth. Have to hold to the Word of God, to the standards of God. We can't compromise, but be sure that we love the person, even though we can hate the sin. All right, and then the third is trust, and we talked about trust being a daily habit, not just a one-time decision, but it's, I'm discovering, even today, when I surely should feel I would be a giant after all these yay many years, I'm having to come down to size all the time to be learn to be childlike in trust. Really, the secret of trusting is to just have that dependence. That's maturity. When we learn to trust like a child in dependence on the Father. And then the fourth is to lean not on your own understanding in verse 5, which was commented, it has its own commentary in verse 7. The way in which we lean is being wise in our own knowledge. And it says, lean not in your own understanding, and that is meaning that you're not to rely on your own knowledge. You don't lean for support on your own knowledge. Doesn't mean that you don't use what God has given to you, but that you don't lean on that. That's not your source of support. You don't support yourself that way. And then the fifth was give and share. And we told how about the divine law of God that's quoted in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be cast into your lap. And that this is a law that goes into all aspects of the Christian life. The law of love. Even in Proverbs, there's a proverb which says, he who has friends must show himself friendly. Even on that filial level of love, you give love, you receive love. On the spiritual level of agape love, those who are giving out love don't suffer from loneliness for lack of love. Giving out one's faith, sharing faith, means that one's own faith is strengthened. Giving out materially, giving out financially. One of the reasons I dare today to do as much encouraging of giving, even financially, to other people, is that I know God is no man's debtor, and it's a sure way to prosper you. It's a sure way to benefit you. And I'd say it's one of the keys to God's provision is that we provide for others. He has said that many times over. It's like an investment on which we receive dividends. also in the matter of sharing our truth, the Word of God, as we teach it, we also are increased in our understanding of it. So that's another way of attaining wisdom, is to give out God's truth, learn more yourself. And then I want to bring to your notice verse 10. Your barns shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Plenty now, and plenty more. God's supply is never, never runs dry. And of course, all of that is conditional, one could say, to applying sound business dealings as we find them in verses 27 to 30 of chapter 3. 27 to 35. And one of those is a warning about procrastinating. Do you see in verse 27? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. In other words, procrastination is a delays prosperity. It does for yourself. It's like a sin, isn't it? And I have in my Bible a little note to remember, kids' allowances. Because I find it too easy to say, not now, I'm busy in the kitchen or something, and the day that they think that they are due, it comes to be two or three days late. And that says something. In fact, there's quite an unspiritual problem, so we can't claim it as ultimate truth, which puts it this way. I think it's a Greek philosopher or something. He gives twice who gives promptly. And it's a much more appreciated gift when it's given immediately, when it's given at once, when the need is there. And the sixth point was discipline. We had that very precious sharing of Jo telling us, illustrating from her own experience how the Lord has blessed her. I'd just like to bring out a couple of points in verse 11. Despise not the discipline or the chastening of the Lord. That despise not, that word despise means reject not. And Jo, as she was sharing, kept using one word, which was very significant. She said, to be willing, to be willing. This refers to the will. It doesn't refer to the feelings of God's dealings, but to the will. You know, Jo willed to let go the resentments and the hurts and the offendings and those negative reactions which were the natural part of any human heart in a situation that she faces. She willed to let it go, and then God filled that gap with the joy of His grace. Oil of joy for the spirit of mourning. And we have that exchange offered to us if we choose to accept it. It says, be weary not, neither be weary of His correction. And that little expression, be weary, refers to shrink from. Don't shrink from it. That deals with our emotions. So here we have an attitude of the will on the one hand, not to reject, and the emotions on the other, not to shrink from. And then I love verse 12, telling us that the motive behind God's purpose, God's dealings, His purpose, what is it? Love. The literal whys we cannot explain, but we can always say that much. God is love. And it says, for whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And you know, as a fellowship, we're in a time of correcting, I'm sure. Because I do believe that in the matter of our ministry with the prison, that God is saying and got more to say to us And I feel this personally, that I desire to not shrink from or reject. And that's why we're asking for the prayers of others. We all need it. We in leadership need it very much, that we really hear and be willing to be humble for what the Lord is saying to us. That we've got to come back into that right order, into that right relationship, to that new faith and new trust, because the enemy's getting stronger. I like the 2 Samuel. You might keep your finger in Proverbs, but would you like to look up 2 Samuel 7, verses 14 and 15? 7, 14 and 15. I was mentioning the other day how the Lord blessed our home with an unusual gift. And it's easy to say, oh, the Lord sent an angel, and to accept all these lovely gifts he sends in. I have no problem giving God praise and thanksgiving, because I'm a generous receiver. But when it comes to something else here, 2 Samuel 7, 14 and 15, I got a real blow one day when I noticed this verse. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Sometimes God chastens us and disciplines us, not by a private word in the dignity of our closet where no one else can see, but publicly, with the rod of men. I thought, Lord, that's true. I give you thanks when you use your human hands to minister your love and your generosity and your kindness. So easy to say, thank you, Lord. But when you use human hands to give a little chastening, punishment, or a little bit of correction, I usually look at the hand that gave it on earth rather than the one that the Lord may have allowed to give it. So the chastening of the Lord and the correcting of the Lord may come through others. And if we're in a time of trouble with people, it could be that the Lord is saying something here, but that grand but in verse 15, my mercy shall not depart away. And even if the human hands that deliver it don't have much mercy, God's got his heart of mercy to go with it. Isn't that a comfort? That really meant something to me. And then the seventh point here that I would give in the stepping stones to wisdom is envy not and choose no alternate ways in verse 31 of Proverbs 3. Envy not and choose no alternate ways. What do I mean by that? What are some of the alternate ways that we might try to get to wisdom and to what we're seeking here? And I put down four that came to me. One is ambition for self-gain. That's a worldly way. The Christian way is to desire to please the Lord for his glory. But it's when it's for ambition, for self-gain, is the oppressor's way. And a second attitude of the way of the world is grasping rather than giving. You know, we can even do that in our running to meetings and our running. We can have a spiritual sin here of an attitude that's just to get, rather than to give out. We must have the balance of drawing from the wells of water and being buckets poured out everywhere we go. And a third is to seek wisdom from worldly sources rather than from God. That's another way. Going to all kinds of other avenues, and I don't need to enumerate those, such as the world's wisdom, of insight and psychology. There's a place for all that and philosophies. I believe there's a great deal of divine psychology in the Book of Life, but one can get so wrapped up in some of these others that it draws from, it gives you much head knowledge, but it does not feed the soul. It's not the Word of God. It doesn't have the authority of the Word of God. And then unless we are steeped in the Scriptures and really know the Word of God well, we can't tell whether these other philosophies, theories, trends of psychology and so on, we can't tell whether they are true. They sound good, but are they true? The only way we know is not by studying heavily all those other areas of the world's wisdom, but by studying heavily this word. And that is the measuring rod. You know, you can recognize false cults and false teachers and wrong doctrines without having to study all of them. Now, that's not to say there isn't a time to look into them, especially if you're dealing with certain people. But there isn't, for most of us, time to be steeped in this and be studying at depth the other. So we need to make our priority the Word of God, don't we? And love it. And then the fourth point of choosing an alternate way is exactly as the Scripture says here. Strive... where does it say? The way of the oppressor. The way of the oppressor, in other words, one who manipulates, to oppress and to manipulate. And to interpret that, I would say that spiritual one-upmanship, where we are striving to be one better than our neighbor. And you know, within the kingdom of God, isn't it dreadful? We have this. We have a spiritual one-upmanship. More gifts, more ministry, more tapes that I've heard, more this and more that, so that we can just be a little better. That's the way of the oppressor. And the Lord in verse 31, she says, envy thou not the person who grabs and grasps and manipulates and so on, but rather choose none of his ways, but God's ways. Then we come to the benefits of wisdom. The benefits of wisdom. And the first is an escape from the negative side and then the entrance to. We did briefly mention this before, so I'm not going into any great detail about it, but if you look in Proverbs chapter 2, you get the escape from in verse 12 and in verse 16 and in between. The deliverance from, and it's interesting, both are a relationship, and one is the evil man and the other is the strange woman. Proverbs 2 verse 12 and verse 16. Now, the strange woman, I'm just going to give you a few thoughts on who a strange woman is. That word comes up over and over. What is the strange woman, that little expression? One, it could mean just the harlot or the adulteress. And by that, it's in referring to somebody who is enjoying a relationship which is illegal, which is not right for that person to have. That's the harlot or the adulterer. Strange woman is also, secondly, a foreign woman. God had chosen the people of Israel to marry just among themselves. They were to be separate from the other surrounding nations. And if they married a foreigner, then they were marrying a strange woman. A funny thing happened this morning. I was talking over some of these things with my husband, and suddenly a little voice peeps up, "Daddy, you married a foreign woman, didn't you?" I thought, well, you just, we get tipped off. And then the third is a foreign cult. And even though the children of Israel were to marry those who had not been married before and those who were of their own nation. Nevertheless, there were those in Israel who had done spiritual adultery in a religious sense. They had gone off to the gods of those other nations in the East, for instance, the Astarte, A-S-T-A-R-T-E, goddess of love. And this was one of the things that being warned about, against a strange woman. Or the fourth aspect here would be the allegorical understanding of the word, where it's referring to any prostitution with another kind of wisdom, or another loyalty, or another affection, or another god, such as later the Greek philosophies or the other religions, and so on. God is a jealous God, and he's teaching through the natural here that he wants to have a people that are separate unto him, whose heart is totally committed to him, and who have no relationships with the heart other than with him. In other words, that we love the Lord our God only, and we do not commit adultery with other loyalties. Then the entrance to the land of safety and the perfect land to remain in it, are two verses here in chapter 1, verse 33, and in chapter 2, verse 21. These are the benefits of wisdom summed up. Then we're going to go and look at them in a little more detail. And we referred and told about what we meant. And I just want to go over that very briefly, because I understand some of it was a little too fast for you. But what did we mean by we shall be safe from evil in chapter 1, 33? Shall hearken unto me and shall dwell safely in chapter 2, 21. The upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. In chapter 3, verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. How can we be in this lovely state of safety and security and freedom from evil? And the one point I want to bring across is that evil does not refer to our circumstances. They may be evil. God has not promised us a bed of roses, but it does refer to the evil that is sin. The evil that might take the form in several ways of losing one's faith, of the reaction of bitterness or resentment. Please stop your machine and turn the tape over. The first and the beginning of wisdom is the beginning and controlling principle of all our further learning is the fear of the Lord.